host, The Organic Guy. This is your home of organic conversations. This is where you get to hear from various thought leaders across the organic movement. And today I'm super, super excited to be joined by Mr. Mikhail Walder, who is the director of Bionext. Bionext is a cooperative really that represents the interests of our organic farmers, processors, traders, and our specialized organic shops here in the Netherlands. So, Mr. Mikhail, thank you very much for joining me in the podcast.
Wonderful to be here in your podcast. Thanks for your invitation.
Yeah, thank you for accepting within such a short period of time. So maybe you can help us also give our audience a little bit of context, how you got yourself into organic farming. I mean, was it something that you always looked up to when you were growing up in sort of ways? Probably you'll get up involved in sustainable agriculture, or were you brought up in an environment that really valued these principles? How did you get yourself into organic movement?
Well, I actually, it's not such a romantic story that I grew up on an organic farm and my dad was a farmer. And since then, I was always embracing organic. It was more that I studied hotel management and I studied economics. I always was attracted to the food industry. And was involved working, for example, for the Dutch sugar organization, the COSUN, on their fruit and vegetable business. We were selling, for example, a strawberry puree to Unilever, who were making strawberry ice cream. Industrial fruit and vegetable sales. But around about that time, my brother, he's a child surgeon, and he was working in Malawi. And I visited him for 3 weeks in Malawi, amazingly beautiful country, but also very poor country. And I thought, you know, I had some time to reflect. I thought, it's quite special what my brother was doing, is that on the one hand, he has a job, he's earning an income, but he's also making a difference every day on people's lives. He's literally saving lives, making people, give them a good feeling, you know, making parents very happy by saving children's lives.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be wonderful if I could, in my fruit and vegetable world, be able to do something where I would have a bit more of an impact than just paying off my mortgage. And so when I came back, I started actively looking around for companies that were involved with fruit and vegetable production and sales, but that were making a difference. And then I very quickly, realized that organic fruit and vegetable production was the place where I wanted to go. And I joined the company Aosta. We're also very active in Kenya with organic avocado imports. Is a supplier of organic fruits and vegetables. And I was responsible there for sustainability and communications. And for 12 and a half years, I worked for that company to try and explain to consumers why it's a good idea to pay a little bit extra for organic products, because organic farmers around the world, heroes, are really making the world a better place through farming. And now, 1.5 years ago, I joined Bionext because I think that the organic movement needs to be heard far beyond just the organic movement. So we need to be part of the societal debate. We need to be part of the politics going on in The Hague. We need to be part of the social dialogue as it comes to what are we going to do? What about climate change, biodiversity loss? And I want to show that organic agriculture is part of the solution and not part of the problem. So that's why I joined Bionext. And to my surprise, they took me on. And that's where I am now.
I was also looking at the history of how the organic movement has developed in the Netherlands. I was actually having a conversation with some of my friends, and I was asking them probably why there is, if you compare with other European countries, there's generally the organic sector is a little bit lower in terms of numbers. So, and one of the explanations that I got was, after World War II, probably the government was more concerned about food production and the other side wasn't really taken into account. And then most farmers saw organic sort of moving backwards, really, especially when, there were new technologies of killing weeds and pesticides, all kind of stuff. So, you know, from your perspective about the history of organic in the Netherlands, for example, do you see that side of history, or, you know, what really explains why the organic movement sort of lower in the Netherlands?
I think there are numerous reasons. I mean, you've mentioned a few of them already. I think Holland is very proud of the fact that we're the second largest agricultural exporter in the world, blah, blah, blah. So that, you know, so Wageningen University, which is obviously a very good university, but a university that's very much focusing on how do I get as much milk out of a cow possible, or how do I get as much grain out of one square meter of soil, without thinking about what are the long-term consequences for biodiversity, water, soil, climate, human health, etc. So the whole infrastructure here in Holland is all about getting the highest production rates, making from food more of a business and not a way to feed ourselves or protect the planet. And so when you're so focused, so focused on that, then you're, you will always see that sustainability and long-term issues, long-term view is going to be play a secondary role. And the other thing is that Holland is a quite populated country. I think we're one of the most populated countries in Europe. So we don't have that much connection with the soil where our food comes from. We have a big trust in our supermarket, in our food system. So we have no reason to distrust that at all. We buy our products on the shelves of the supermarkets and we don't think about it any further. Whereas in other countries where we've seen a few scandals, in other countries where people have much more connection with the soil, where the food comes from, where there's much more a food tradition, particularly in the Mediterranean countries. It's logical that people realize that, you know, if I use pesticides on my crops or artificial fertilizers, then maybe I'm not a big, such a big fan of that. And so it's more in the open there. So there's many reasons. The good news is obviously with Europe, and the farm to fork deal, where they want to go to 25% organic agriculture in 2030. That is waking a lot of people up here in Holland, in Wageningen, but also here in The Hague and the provinces. So finally, we see that organic is being taken a little more seriously than it has been. And that is a positive for us as a movement.
You mentioned a little bit there about the EU strategy, the farm to fork strategy. Some people think that it's a little bit ambitious there in terms of requiring, you know, some of the member states to hit 25% by 2030. So I'm wondering, from Bionic's perspective, how are you looking at this target? Is it, you know, sort of a challenge we have to achieve? So I'm wondering, what's your strategy behind achieving the 25%?
Well, you know, let's be clear. We are extremely excited that there is a strategy there. And we see a lot of people saying, oh, it's very ambitious and is it all possible? But I always try and look at behind the people who are saying this and why they're saying this. It's the same discussion as this whole discussion as organic cannot feed the world. 9 out of 10 times when people ask you this question, or when they say this 25% is very ambitious, it is the reason that they don't feel they want to do this. They feel that they are being under threat as the conventional agriculture. So they are raising question marks. Same with, again, with the where organic cannot feed the world. People are not interested whether organic can feed the world or not. They want to continue with business as usual because that's their business proposal. And so if from you, I understand you're genuinely interested to know, and I think we can achieve that 25% because not only are we going to be focusing more on organic agriculture, but in the farm to fork, it also says that we will be using 50% less pesticides, herbicides, insecticides, fungicides. We'll be using 20% less artificial fertilizers. We'll be using 20% less antimicrobials. So on all fronts, agriculture is going to change tremendously in Europe. And then it makes sense that for farmers, when they are realizing that we're moving to more of a sustainable farming practices, that they want to be rewarded for their practices in the market. And organic agriculture is the only form of sustainable agriculture where a consumer is prepared to pay a premium price for those products. So it's logical that if we get the market to move forward and develop, that we can reach that 25%, because it's not just about the 25%, it's about the whole restructuring of the Dutch food and agricultural system, the European food and agriculture system. So I'm optimistic it's going to work. And to all the skeptics out there, I say, well, let's at least try. And if we end up at 18 or 20%, you know, we can still be proud because we're only at 4% now. So let's go for it. But we're excited.
And part of achieving that is actually the market. And also, I just wanted us to a little bit talk about the market in the Netherlands. Personally, when, you know, I do see there's a lot of specialty organic shops. So Odin is one of them, and then Eco Plaza is also the other. So there are many other organic specialty shops within the Netherlands. And also, if you even go to mainstream supermarkets as well, Odin, Jumbo, all this kind of stuff, you are most likely going to see, you know, an organic section somewhere. So you are probably going to have access to these organic products. So I'm wondering, What is the state of the organic market? Is it growing, or has it been sort of stagnant over a couple of years?
It's been growing, but very, very slightly. So it's not a very impressive growth. I mean, we know that in Germany and in France, they showed 17%, 19% growth, and that these kind of figures we don't have in Holland. So, and then that we have the discussion with the supermarkets, and the supermarkets are saying, well, the consumer is not buying it. And our answer is, well, maybe you should be presenting it in a different way to entice the consumer to buy it. It's not just, I mean, it's all about marketing. It's all about positioning, where on the shelf you have the organic. It's about communicating about price and value, etc. So, if you make an effort, supermarket, you will sell much more. We did some experiments with a co-op supermarket and organic milk, and we sold 40% more organic milk simply by changing the position of the packs on the shelf and talking about price communication. So just saying, for organic milk is just a few cents more expensive. So we are convinced that we can really make big steps as long as people are prepared to make an effort. If you just leave it and don't pay any attention to it, then it's not going to grow, and that's a problem. So what we did is in we got two amendments in the Tweede Kamer, which is the parliament in Holland, to really let the politicians push supermarkets to do much more to promote organic products. So we hopefully that's going to have an effect as well. But obviously we also have individual chats with all the different supermarket organizations, but also with the umbrella organization called the CBL here in Holland.
Just a curious question. I mean, generally, most consumers don't want to spend a lot of money in whatever they buy, but is it true that most Dutch consumers really, the reason why they don't buy organic so much is because, there's an extra cost to it, or is this a myth that a lot of people have?
No, it's true. It's true. We are a very thrifty people. Like this in Europe, you have the Scottish and the Dutch, and we don't like to spend money on things. We like to put it in our under our mattress. And this is a phenomenon that we see quite often in Holland, and we see also that 8%, the Dutch people spend between 8 to 10% of their disposable income on food, which is one of the lowest in Europe. So whereas in the 50s or 60s, we spent up to somewhere between 30 to 40%. So we like to have the new iPhone, and we like to have the cool television and beautiful clothes, but we're not prepared to spend money on the food. So that's a challenge for us as well. But we see a lot that people are concerned about the environment, are concerned about biodiversity loss, are concerned about water. So if we can get the message across that by choosing organic, you're making casting a vote for the world you want, then I think we can achieve a lot.
I think that's a good strategy to follow. And earlier you mentioned a bit about the House of Representatives passing the motion, said to promote organic farming. So can you elaborate to us what actually it is, and what and why it might be important moving forward in terms of promoting organic?
Well, it's always difficult because you have the carrot and the stick, and I always prefer to use the carrots to entice supermarkets to sell more organic. But it's good to know that there's also a stick whereby the politicians are saying to supermarkets, it's your responsibility, come up with a plan as to how you're going to sell more organic. We can't force them because we live in a free market economy, but it is good that politics is getting involved and recognizing the role of supermarkets in the further development of the Dutch organic sector. Because if we can't sell it, then it's never going to go anywhere. So I'm happy more with that support from government. I think that's the main push, and we can use it in our discussions with supermarkets to, well, to convince them to do more.
And then we can sort of touch on the current situation we are in. Of course, the COVID pandemic has been with us for about 1 year. So I'm wondering, from Bionic's perspective and all the other stakeholders that you're working with, how has been the response to the COVID situation? I mean, has it been positive overall or negative, and how have they been able to adapt to the situation?
Well, it's been positive, I think, in the largest sense, because people are beginning to realize what's really important in life and are left the rat race and taking a bit more time to think about cooking and stuff. So we know that the Dutch organic stores, the specialized stores, they had a big raise in their turnover because people were going there and thinking about what food and thinking about food and health. So that's positive. On the other hand, a lot of migrant workers couldn't make it in last summer to the farms. And in organic, you need more labor. because of all the processes. So that was difficult, but we connected a lot of the farmers with young people who couldn't go to festivals. And in that way, we managed to solve the problem. So lots of students from Achting as well, they helped organic farmers in the fields. But generally speaking, I mean, obviously the food service has had a big hit because the restaurants were closed. But generally speaking, I think as an organic sector, we are coming stronger out of this crisis. Like we have out of every single crisis that there's been, the organic sector comes out stronger because we are trusted by the consumers as a supplier of products that you can trust.
It's interesting. Also, I talked last week with Mr. Lee, who is also in the United Kingdom. They saw similar situation where, you know, there was a huge bump for organic sales in the United Kingdom as well. So the question I'm trying to ask here, do you think that kind of bump is going to continue after the COVID situation is out? Or do you think?
Yes, absolutely. Because the themes like climate change, biodiversity are still huge. They're far bigger than COVID, far more threatening to the future of our planet. And I think that realization is becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. Particularly young people are realizing that we cannot go on with business as usual. We cannot have a food system like we've had in the past 30, 40 years' time. So generally, people really are realizing that the current food system is bankrupt. It's no longer working. So then, you know, we don't need to have to that discussion whether we continue with business as usual or we do another road. The whole discussion is now, how does the new road look? And when you speak about solutions, the organic movement has a very strong points in the fact that we are more sustainable. We've proven that we are applied to strong EU regulations. It's an international logo, so you know, when a Dutch farmer grows something organic here, he can sell it as organic in Germany. It's respected by a consumer who's willing to pay an added value, a premium price, and it's you know, anchored in the farm to fork strategy. So we know the European Commission will be focusing on organic at least until 2030, but probably until 2050, because that's the Green Deal. So, you know, we are very confident that organic will grow in Europe in the coming period.
Nice. So from, you know, from the position you are in and looking organic from an overview, do you see some of the challenges that most likely are going to face the sector in the next, you know, few years coming up?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of challenges coming towards us. I mean, again, climate change is a huge one. It didn't have an effect, you know, with droughts or too much water. But it's affecting everyone in farming and everyone in food supply. So, but organic is, because organic soils can cope more with large periods of drought or large periods of wetness. We think that also there we have a stronger point, but it's a big threat for all of us, and including, I mean, the biodiversity loss is a big thing. What we focus on at BioNext is that we have circle of influence and circle of concern. And we focus on the on where we have an influence on, and not so much on where we are concerned about.
Okay, nice. Finally, can you give us your overview of how the organic movement in the Netherlands is going to grow, or what are some of the things that, some of the opportunities you're seeing moving forward in the organic sector in the Netherlands, probably in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, what we see is that people are beginning to realize that there's no use solving just single issues. There's no use just focusing on the nitrogen crisis that we have in Holland, or the phosphate crisis, or soil pollution, or water pollution, or climate. People are beginning to realize that all these things are connected. If you farm more in harmony with nature, you're going to solve a lot of these issues. And so I think that realization is something that we as an organic movement have had for a long time. I mean, our principles are care, our health, our ecology, and our
fairness,
those four. And those four principles fit very much in a holistic approach to solving problems. And politicians, local, but also in government, but also NGOs, large corporations are beginning to realize if we're going to solve these problems, we need to a holistic approach. And as an organic movement, we can really step up and show how working with the organic movement is part of the solution. We need to be careful not to be arrogant and say that our way is the only way. Yeah. I don't want to say that at all.
Yeah.
But we do have a good system which works. And we need to develop, of course, but we do have a great story.
Mm.
And that story is beginning to get across to people who are making decisions with regard to the Netherlands. So in that sense, we'll have challenges ahead of us, but yeah. I'm very optimistic with regard to the development of our sector in the coming years.
Nice. Yeah. So from those encouraging words, I think it's fair to say the future for organic looks great, especially in the Netherlands.
And absolutely.
Yeah.
But also Kenya.
Yeah, yeah. In Kenya also, we are making very, very good strides. So I'm also very excited absolutely. As well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. So. Yeah, thank you very much for joining me in the podcast. That was very precise, and thank you for giving us an overview of what's really happening in the organic sector in the Netherlands.
Okay, well, thank you for your invitation, and good luck with your great work, and thanks for sharing the message.
Yeah, thank you very much. Take care.
Bye-bye.